listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Reading today from Jeremiah chapter 13. Here we have the type of Jeremiah's linen girdle. It's rather lengthy scripture. I'd like to read it. And as Jeremiah will bury that girdle near the Euphrates and then dig it up, marred, it's a picture of Israel. And certainly it can be a picture of any one of our nations today. But even more solemn, it can be a picture of the church. As Israel was a nation very dear to God, and we'll read that here. And yet they would not obey God. They would not cling to Him. And so being marred, He had to punish them terribly. And they would be carried away far beyond the Euphrates, where Jeremiah would bury this linen girdle. Listen as we read these first 17 verses of Jeremiah 13. Thus saith the Lord unto me, go and get thee a linen girdle, and put it on thy loins, and put it not in water. So I got a girdle, according to the word of the Lord, and put it on my loins. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and arise, go to Euphrates, and hide it there in a hole in the rock. So I went, and hid it by the Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. And it came to pass after many days that the Lord said unto me, arise, go to Euphrates, and take the girdle from thence, which I commanded thee to hide there. Then I went to Euphrates and digged, and took the girdle from the place where I hid it. And behold, the girdle was marred. It was profitable for nothing. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, after this manner I will mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imaginations of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people, and for a name, and for a praise, and for glory. But they would not hear. Therefore thou shalt speak unto them this word, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, every bottle shall be filled with wine, and they shall say unto thee, do we not certainly know that every bottle shall be filled with wine? Then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of this land, even the kings that sit upon David's throne, and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, with drunkenness. And I will dash them one against another, even the fathers and the sons together, saith the Lord. I will not pity, nor spare, nor have mercy, but destroy them. Hear ye, and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God, before He caused darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while ye look for light, He turn it into the shadow of death, and make it gross darkness. But if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and mine eyes shall weep sore, and run down with tears, because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. What a sad and solemn picture. It was true for Judah those 2,600 years ago. It can be true for our nation. And as I said, more sadly, it can be true for the church in any nation. Let's pray that God will teach us from these words. Our Father, we give thanks again for this word. We give thanks for the whole scriptures, the perfect scriptures, the complete scriptures. We give thanks especially for the gospel in the scriptures. And we give thanks here, even though this has been spoken of Judah, that they were called to be humbled, not to be proud. They were called to give glory to Thee, the Holy God, to turn away from the other gods. And once again, Father, we see in the midst of this description of judgment, a call to repentance. And we know that wherever there's a call to repentance, there is also a call to faith, to believe in the only true God. And Father, to believe in the coming Savior that was shown to them by all of the sacrifices and all the promises given from the beginning of Scripture, to Adam, to Abraham, to David, and to many others. We pray, Father, in the name of Christ, that the Holy Spirit might be given today, that we might learn from these examples, from these teachings, from this doctrine, all of thy mind, all of thy ways, and Father, that we might again endure sound doctrine, the doctrine of a holy God, the doctrine of a Savior, the doctrine of repentance, the doctrine of faith, the doctrine of true conversion, the doctrine of obedience and love, the doctrine of marriage, and Father, the doctrine of creation, all the doctrines of this blessed word, and we pray it all through Christ for thy glory and our present and eternal good. Amen. As we look at this, we have here a type. We have here a picture, simply by a girdle, a linen girdle, that Jeremiah was to put on his loins, and he was directed, and put it not in water. We don't know if otherwise when he would get a girdle, or someone would get a girdle, that they would put it in water to soak it or to soften it, to take away the hardness. Probably a picture of Israel in their hardness, in their wickedness, in their pride. And Jeremiah did so. He listened to the Lord. This is one lesson we can learn from all of Scripture. If we go on just for a moment to verse 15. Hear ye, and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. This word was God speaking to Jeremiah, and through Jeremiah to the people and of the people, and also continuing to speak to us. As we read in the letter to the Hebrews, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he was here with God, with the people, as well as God the Father and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who, as Isaiah had said earlier, they had vexed, and he became their enemy and fought against them. And that was now taking place. These people were going to be destroyed. Destroyed by the hand of their enemies. The enemies whom they had emulated. The enemies whose gods they had served. And they were now yet once again called back. Listen to verse 9, or verse 8 and 9. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, After this manner will I mar the pride of Judah, and the great pride of Jerusalem. And then the 10th verse, This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them, to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. It was a small thing for the girdle to be good as nothing, but it was a great thing, an awful loss for that people to be as that girdle, good for nothing. And that was the picture that was unfolding. As Jeremiah got the girdle, according to the Lord, put it on his loins, wore it for some time, we don't know how long. And then the word of the Lord came unto him the second time, saying, Take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and arise, and go to the Euphrates, and hide it there in a hole of the rock. So I went and hid it by the Euphrates, as the Lord had commanded me. Jeremiah, who was often there in Jerusalem, near the temple, had to cross Jordan, had to go to the far border of the land of Judah. This was near the tribe, the border of the tribe of Reuben. And sadly, it was also probably the Euphrates that later these captives would be carried across unto Babylon and other places where they would be taken. The tribe of, or the 10 tribes had already been carried away in that direction and probably went across the Euphrates, the border that God had promised to Abraham. And here, God told Jeremiah, Go to the Euphrates, hide it there in the hold of the rock. The Euphrates is already mentioned in the book of Genesis at the time of creation in the Garden of Eden, and here again, and it is there yet today, part of history, God's picture of what he did, what he is doing, what he will do. And so Jeremiah went and hid this by the Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. He obeyed God's command. The people did not. The sixth verse, and it came to pass after many days that the Lord said unto me, Arise, go to Euphrates, and take the girdle from thence, which I commanded thee to hide it there. And I went to the Euphrates and digged, and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it. And behold, the girdle was marred. It was profitable for nothing. First, he said to put this girdle, take it there near the Euphrates, put it in the hole in the rock. We would think he might have just laid it there in the hole in the rock. But evidently he dug as well. Though we're not told that there in the beginning, it said when he went to retrieve it, that he went to dig and again retrieved this girdle, took it from the place where he had hid it, and the girdle was marred, profitable for nothing, spoiled. Evidently, mold, rot, could not be used. And then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, After this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. Here was a linen girdle. Wonderful material. Linen, often spoken of through the scripture. Certainly far from sackcloth, that which was the most humbling, and other kinds of cloth that was often mentioned. But here a linen girdle. Beautiful. Smooth. Now, good for nothing. Marred. Rotted. And then God using it as the type to take that wonderful people, the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, often spoken of in a wonderful way. A wonderful temple had been built there. Solomon had reigned there. David had reigned there. Other kings had reigned there. Jerusalem was a great city, had a great reputation. Sometimes the heathen kings would dig out and look at that reputation when others would complain about them. And God said, this pride of the country, this pride of the city, the capital, would be like that linen garment, that girdle. And then the description in verse 10, this evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. Here we have a right picture. Truth. Truth. Yes, truth. Walk after other gods to serve them. How often do we hear this thing of plurality today? We all worship the same God. If we all worship the same God, then we're all worshiping other gods than the true God. Because the true God is not the same as the imagination of men's minds. I just read of one country where supposedly they have over 1 million gods. All of the different imaginations of the thoughts of man's mind. This is a god. That's a god. This is a god. And sometimes we hear of a particular god of one religion, or sometimes this nation or some nations together. And I heard it recently. Well, we serve the same God. No, there is one true God. And if someone serves a different God than that only true God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners, the only one that died for sinners. And let me tell you one thing that is very different. all of the other religions of the world, beside the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, have a works of man, a works of self, to satisfy these supposed gods, and in a way live in either fear or pride. Pride if we think we're doing well, fear if we don't know. We don't know if we're serving this God right or not. We don't know what this God will do with us. The God of imagination. We do know what the only true God will do if we don't believe on Him. And if we don't come to Him in repentance and faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, He will damn us. He will punish us eternally, no question. He that believeth not shall be damned. But he that believeth on the Lord Jesus, hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus, the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and believes that, and then is baptized in His name, shall be saved. Right now, as soon as you believe, as soon as you have that saving faith in Christ, in God, and have that in Him and Christ alone. This scripture of the Creator, the Lawgiver, the one that so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That was true here in this time of Jeremiah, in this time of Judah. There was a special favor to this nation. They were described as cleaving to the only true God, like this garment cleaved, but they became marred. And God had this for all of the people. All of this nation had a special favor. And I have to say it very carefully. They had a special favor. But we can say at the same time they were not necessarily favored in the end, because they didn't recognize this wonderful favor of God, this command of God, this call to be one with Him, to believe on Him, to follow His ways, follow His commands, to reverence His holy law, and to believe that though the law was to be reverenced, they broke it, they were guilty of it, and they needed the sacrifices for that purpose, not to come in self-righteousness, but to come as Abel had many years before. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith, believing that that was a picture of the coming of God's Son, the seed of the woman, who would bruise the head of the serpent, Satan. Yes, if we walk in the imagination of our heart, we may make a picture of God. We may even come so close as we read in Psalm 50, Thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as thyself. Yes, what a picture. Everyone thinking God is like them. Is it any wonder that we have so much bedlam, so much pride, so much, I hate to say the word, but fighting, division, bitterness? Yes, you say, well, it's a bad thing. We have that in our government. We have a lot of strife. We have a lot of division. True. Very sad. Very evil. But it's not as bad as two other places. In the church and in the home. Two places that should be far different, far better than even government. And government would be far different if those two were different. Especially if the church were a salt, a light. Today we have our refrigeration, we keep our food by that. We don't think so much of what is needed to keep food from spoiling. But it formerly was salt. It would be salted, and if it were salted, it would keep it from spoiling. The Lord Jesus used the example and said, if the salt hath lost its savor, if it isn't pertinent, then it's good for nothing but to be trodden under foot of men. It's treated like the sand. The salt is worthless. It doesn't keep. It doesn't kill the germs. It doesn't keep that which is good to be good. That's what the church would do. It would be an example. It would be a light. It would be a teacher. It would be a preacher of the gospel if it were good in this nation, our nation, the United States of America. We are being marred in comparison to our forefathers, in comparison to what God has himself taught us through the years. Read a man like Jonathan Edwards, that God taught and preached the way of faith for salvation. Yes, he preached works. He preached against sin, but not for salvation. There's a vast difference. God wants us to love. He wants us to obey. But he doesn't want to think that, doesn't want us to think that by that we can be made perfect before God. And God is a perfect God. God is a holy God. And we can only be holy through his Son by saying before God and to God, I have no righteousness in myself, no righteousness but what he has given, he has provided. He has, again in that verse, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We can think of an earlier time in the descendants of Abraham. When they sinned, when they murmured, God sent fiery serpents among them. They started to bite the people. They died. And then God told Moses to make a brazen serpent, to put it up on a pole, and they could look to that and be healed. And the Lord Jesus says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man, the Son of God, who would become the Son of Man on this earth, be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That could have taken place here in this time of Jeremiah. If these people would have come away from their pride, the pride of Judah, the pride of Jerusalem, and said, we have sinned. We need to repent. We need to change our ways. We need to learn who we are before this God. We need to learn who God really is instead of what we think he is. When they had said earlier, the temple of the Lord is this. They had brought their worship down to their own level, to their own tradition, and that's often sadly true in the church. That's why we have so much division. And the division is settling in the homes. The division is settling everywhere. Pride and disobedience. What a terrible mixture. Awful. Confusion. Unbelief. What will it end in? Judgment, unless we repent and turn to God in repentance and turn to Christ in faith. Yes, in the church as well as in the world. Don't think an historic faith will save you without reality in Christ.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.